Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever thought about the different ways we use the symbolism, the imagery of light and dark? Scary stories usually begin on a dark and stormy night. Villains often wear dark clothing while heroes are dressed in light. In so many instances, darkness embodies that which is evil, while light embodies the good. But that's not the only way that light and darkness are used. Think about all the different ways we associate light with understanding. A person who doesn't know what's going on is said to be in the dark. Or when a concept finally does make sense to someone, we call it a light bulb moment. Entire eras of history are defined this way. The Enlightenment, considered a time of great learning, but the Dark Ages, a time of superstition and ignorance. Light and dark, understanding and ignorance. Those are some of the key images in today's Old Testament text from Isaiah. Light and dark, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth. A thick darkness shall cover the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. It's an appropriate text for the celebration of Epiphany because, as we just talked about in the children's message, in many ways, Epiphany is the season of turning on the light. It's the season of the church year set aside to remember the ways that God revealed the Christ to the world. If Christmas celebrates God giving the gift of Christ, Epiphany is the season of unwrapping the box to see what's inside. And so today we hear Magi from the East bringing gifts. Gold fit for a king, the incense for our high priest, myrrh for the one who would die as the sacrifice. Next week, we'll hear of the baptism of our Lord, when the Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father boomed, "This one is my son." Then we'll hear of the wedding of Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine, the first of his signs, John tells us, through which he revealed his glory. And we'll hear other stories of miracles and healings, all culminating in the transfiguration of our Lord, where Jesus shines like the sun on the mountaintop. The season of Epiphany is a season of light, a season where our Lord enlightens us. He dispels our ignorance with the light of his word. But the reality is, understanding can be terrifying. Light can be terrifying. The saying, ignorance is bliss, that saying didn't come from nowhere. Because sometimes life confronts us with unpleasant knowledge that we'd rather not have. So what do we do when that happens? I once heard a story of a desert nomad. He woke up hungry in the middle of the night, lit a candle, and began to eat some of the dates from the bowl on the side of his bed. Took a bite from the first date, and noticed there was a worm in it. So he spit it out, threw that date away. Picked up another date, found another worm. And so he looked in the bowl and he realized there were worms in all of the dates. And he decided there was no way he could eat dates that he knew had worms in them. So he blew out the candle and he quickly ate the rest in the dark. Preferred the darkness of denial over the light of the truth. And oftentimes we're tempted to the same attitude. When the light of our Lord shines in our life, it will show us our sin. And rather than confess our sin, sometimes we're tempted to just blow out the candle, to block the light of our Lord's words so that we can continue in shadows and darkness. But ignoring reality doesn't change reality. And ignoring our sin won't make our sin go away. So thanks be to God that our Lord does not ignore our sin. He doesn't leave us in the dark. No, the message of Epiphany is this: the light has come. Jesus is the light who destroys the darkness. Just as the night is destroyed by the day, so Christ destroys the darkness of this world. When the sun breaks over the horizon, the night is gone. The darkness cannot survive in the presence of the light. And Christ is the light of the world. He has come to free us from the prison of our darkness. The people to whom Isaiah first spoke these words were captives in Babylon. Their city, their homes, their temple had all been destroyed. They had been captured, carted away to live in a distant land. It was all their fault. Blowing out the candle or ignoring the truth wouldn't help them. The chapters leading up to today's reading detail the crimes for which Israel was being punished. Their kings had failed to lead. They were overrun with idolatry. They didn't live in the justice and righteousness that God had outlined for them in his covenant with Moses. They sought to glorify themselves in the eyes of the world around them, and for all their efforts, what they got in return was subjection, captivity. They had forgotten who their Lord truly was. They began to look at him. They treated him as if he was just one God among many. But that's not who he is. He is the true God, and they were his people. People to whom he had bound himself in covenant with Abraham. People that he had promised to provide for and to protect. And so even in the midst of their captivity and devastation, when night seemed to be at its darkest, the Lord restored his people. Because that's what he does. Because that's who he is. He is the God who keeps his promises. He is the God who shines light into the darkness. For his people of old and for us. Because we are his people too. And yes, there is much darkness in this world around us. And yes, our own sinful flesh is at war against all the good that our Lord would do in our lives. Because the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh do not want us to hallow God's name or to see his kingdom come. And there are moments where we might be tempted to blow out the candle, so to speak, to try to console ourselves in the midst of life's difficulties by simply ignoring them, giving in to the darkness. I'm sure the people of God had similar thoughts in Babylon, but he did not forget them, and he's not forgotten us. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us, and our light has come. And yes, that light will shine into the dark corners of our life where we might prefer things be left in the shadows. Yes, that light will expose us for who we are, by nature sinful and unclean, sinners who on some level still love our sins, who still yearn for the darkness, who still want one more bite of that poison fruit, even though we know it leads only to death. The light of God is unrelenting. That's because the love of God is unrelenting. Our Lord is calling us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He's reminding us that he's a God who keeps his promises. And he has promised that through daily contrition and repentance, that old Adam will be put to death, along with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man will arise to live before him in righteousness and in purity. In the words of Zechariah, he will give us the knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, through which the sunrise will visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He will guide our feet into the way of peace. Ignorance may be bliss, but it still ends in death. Our God is the God of life. He shines the light of his law into our lives to make us uncomfortable in our sin, to crush us in our sin, to put that sin to death, so that the life-giving words of the gospel forgiveness can do their work. So the light of his salvation can shine upon us, so that we can bask in the warmth of his love. So yes, there may still be the threat of darkness in this life, but the Lord of glory has arisen upon us. Our light has come. It is the Christ who is here to forgive our sins and to make us whole. That's the joy of Epiphany. That's the joy of the entire Christian life. And so may this light of our Lord's word continue to shine in the darkness of our lives, that rather than hiding, we might see our Lord for who he truly is, a loving God who sacrificed himself to buy us back, to make us his own, that we might be his people. In Jesus' name, amen.